everyone, it's Bea, and you're listening to another episode of the In Your Feelings podcast. Before I get into today's episode, I did just want to say thank you to Thought Catalog and ShopCatalog.com for sponsoring this podcast and for helping me to put these conversations into the world. Today's podcast episode is one that is very near and very dear to my heart, and I apologize in advance if I get a little teary or a little choked up, because today we're going to be talking about grief and losing the people in our lives who we genuinely never imagined our lives without. So I'm going to talk about my experience with grief and talk about the things that I dealt with over the last 2 years. And then I want to get into some things that I learned throughout that process, some ways in which I learned how to process my grief and really come to terms with loss, because loss is so immeasurable. There is no way to understand it as a human being. Death itself is scary and confusing, and we can't quite explain it. And so when we lose people who are so close to us, we can really hold on to a lot of heaviness and sadness. And in that way, grief becomes compounding and something that is almost overwhelmingly felt within us. And I think it's okay to mourn and to work through grief. But I wanted to get into some things that I learned while I was processing grief in the hopes that maybe I can help set you up if you are going through a loss right now, or if you are grieving the loss of someone, so that you can approach your healing in a way that is very pointed and very real and supported. I personally don't have all the answers. Grief is still something that is unbelievably hard for me as an emotion that I hold within myself. There are really, really beautiful days and very, very difficult days within my healing process. And I want to remind you that that's okay and that that is human. Grief is something that will always be with you. It is something that you will always have. You will always live with the memory of someone who meant the absolute world to you, and that is okay. When you're grieving and when you're working through that loss, I, above all else, just want to remind you that you are human and you are allowed to feel what you are feeling, and healing is not linear. There are going to be ups and there are going to be downs, and it is going to be very gritty and very difficult, and there will be days where you just absolutely wish you had this person by your side, and you will be so sorry. Okay. And so I just want to start this podcast off by saying that there's no way to perpetually heal from this. It will always be a difficult thing. There will always be moments where the wound is scratched and you feel the ache within you and you just want to be angry and upset. You feel like it is unfair that they are not beside you. And I just want to remind you and reiterate that that's okay. There is no perfect way to approach your healing when it comes to loss, and you just have to be very gentle with yourself. With that being said, I wanted to share a little bit of my story and the grief that I experienced when I lost my mother. So my mom was like the most, as I said, I would tear up, but that's okay because we can do hard things, and this is just a testament to the fact that grief is very real, and it's been 2 years since I lost her, and I had a whole year with her before I actually had to say goodbye, a whole year of being able to hold her hand and tell her that it was going to be okay. It wasn't instant. It's not like I didn't get to say goodbye, and It still fucking hurts. It still hurts so much. It's still something I get so deeply emotional about, and that's just very real. That is the reality of living without someone that you deeply, deeply loved. And so I will no longer apologize for tearing up, but I want to say it's so human and it's so normal, and I'm going to honor that throughout this podcast. But getting back into it, my mother was the most light-filled human being I have ever experienced in my life. To be loved by her, to be believed in by her, was to feel like you had like the world at your fingertips. She poured hope into everyone she met, into every room she walked into every conversation, into everything she touched. It just shone like gold. And to be loved by her was to love yourself. You know, if someone like that can believe in you, if someone like that is encouraging you and loving you, if they see all the parts of yourself that no one else claps for, and they still think that you are beautiful and whole and you have purpose here, to be loved by someone like her was to just be so unconditionally supported and cared for that you felt like you could do absolutely anything in this world. And I say that because you can only imagine how difficult of a loss that is, to lose someone like that, to lose someone who was an extension of you, a reflection of you, my best friend, if I'm being honest. Quite possibly, so far, the only person I think who has truly, deeply, in the grittiest and darkest of ways, like seen me at my most honest and vulnerable and open. To lose someone like that is immeasurable. It feels like an extreme void has been created in your life. And so if you're dealing with grief right now, and if you're dealing with loss right now, I want you to understand that it is okay to feel like so much has been taken from you. When I found out that my mother had lung cancer, she, to get into the story, had gone to the doctor. And it was, you know, I didn't necessarily grow up with the healthiest family. My grandparents and my sisters like kind of had health problems throughout their whole lives. And it was very normal for my family to like go to the hospital or to see the doctor and to have consistent checkups. And my mom had been dealing with a little bit of pain in her neck. And she, 4 months prior to being diagnosed, had gone to the doctor and everything was perfect. She was super healthy, she was taking care of herself, and everything was fine. And then the pain started increasing and she started noticing a little lump, and she was like, you know what, I'm just gonna go to the doctor. And my sister took her to the emergency room, and they were just expecting to maybe get a steroid shot or to maybe get told that there was an infection or it was a lymph node or something along those lines. They weren't necessarily thinking of like the worst case scenario. And then a few hours later, they were sat down and my mom was told by a doctor that she had stage 4 lung cancer, and that because of how it had spread, and because of how large the growth was, a growth that hadn't been there 4 months ago, there was nothing they could do for her. And they basically told her in that moment that she was going to die. And that is when her life completely changed. Not only her life, but our lives as well. We were really thrust into that process of grief immediately. We had to really confront the fact that our hero, our mom, our like best friend, like what wasn't gonna be like at our wedding, like wasn't gonna see our children grow up. They weren't gonna have their grandma. It was very, life changed very quickly is what I'm trying to say. And that was extremely difficult at first to deal with. If you're dealing with grief right now, if you're dealing with loss right now, and you feel almost like out of control, like, what is happening? I can't lose this person. Or if you have lost someone very suddenly and you are angry, that is okay. I know how that feels, to almost think that what you're being told is like not rooted in reality. It is like an out-of-body experience where you hear something and you just don't believe it. Like, I'll never forget the phone call when I got it. I answered my phone and I just immediately knew something was wrong. You know when you get a phone call and something is wrong and the other person is on the line and you can just hear like their shallow breathing, like they're trying very, very hard not to cry. That was my dad on the phone, and he just said, you know, Mom's sick. And I just remember being like, oh, no. Like, everything's fine. It'll be fine. There's so many options. There's so many ways, which is called, like, pleading. It's called, it's like an actual stage of grief where you are trying to negotiate and you're trying to be like, okay, we can do this and we can do this and we can fix it and everything's gonna be okay. Like, you have to calm yourself down by telling yourself things that aren't necessarily like rooted in fact or reality, but it's a coping mechanism where you're just like, no, everything's gonna be fine, because as human beings, we don't understand death. We don't understand loss. We don't want to add meaning to that aspect of life. We want the people with us all the time. We don't want to believe that there is a world where they will not be there to hold our hand or to like be on the other end of the phone on a really hard day. Like, that is very difficult to give value to. And so immediately it's easy to protest the things that are going on and to protest grief and to not want to feel it. And I remember going through that, and I remember telling my dad, like, it's gonna be okay. And he just kept saying, like, Bianca, baby, like, no, like, it's actually not. Like, this is something we're gonna have to deal with. Like, this is something that is now part of our lives, and this is something that we have to start working through, and we have to be strong for each other. And that's when it really deeply hit me that I was losing my favorite person. And at first I was very angry, obviously. As I said a few times already, honor that anger, but also understand that there are a lot of lessons to be learned from watching someone confront their own humanity and working through grief and processing grief that can make you a stronger person. And I hope no one has to learn it that way, but it is a reality of life, and it is something that will touch all of our lives. I think one of the biggest lessons that I learned while I was going through the grieving process that began pretty much the minute I found out about my mom and the fact that I was going to have to face that loss, was that pain really does demand to be felt. If you have a wound and you don't acknowledge it, it just gets worse. And I know that this kind of thing, this kind of loss, is extremely easy to repress, and you don't want to deal with it. You don't want to think about it. You don't want to feel the extreme hurt and sadness that comes with losing someone you genuinely love so deeply. And so I know what it is like to almost want to run away from that pain, what it is like to want to push it down and fill your life with all of the distractions the world has given us to kind of supplement our emotion. I got to a point throughout the year that my mom was battling her cancer where I was living in a completely polarized world. Work had started really picking up and a lot of opportunities were coming my way. And my mother specifically told me that it gave her strength to see me pursuing my dreams. So I kept saying yes and yes and yes and yes, and I kept going and going and going and taking on all these opportunities and going on all of these trips and then running home to see my mom and to be with her and to hold her hand and to kind of be that comfort for her. And I was living like in this odd, it felt like two parallel universes. One where I was experiencing like gut-wrenching, soul-shattering, like I can't even explain it, and if you're going through this, you know what I'm talking about, but just like the worst kind of wounding that I have ever felt in my life. And then on the other side, I was also dealing with like so much hope and potential and beauty, and everything felt very shiny and amazing, but I almost couldn't like feel that texture because in the back of my head, I was constantly just devastated about my loss, about seeing my mom the way that she was, about seeing someone's body slowly give up on them, about, you know, thinking about her each and every single night, wondering, laying in bed, like, what was she thinking about? Like, how is she feeling? Does she feel loved enough? Is she scared? These thoughts would like plague me. And so in a way, I really started focusing on my work. I really started throwing myself into all of my opportunities. And I thought that, and everyone around me thought that I was, you know, doing so well. People constantly said, I can't believe that you are so successful right now. I can't believe that you're so optimized, that you're doing so much in this world. Like, if I were you, I would just be a complete mess. And the reality is I was, but I wasn't, if I am being honest, I don't think I was necessarily allowing myself to feel my emotions and to really connect with the fact that I was going to have to say goodbye. Like I did when my dad was on the phone at first, I kept saying like, it's gonna be okay, it's gonna be okay. Like, there's gonna be a miracle, she's gonna beat this, like it's gonna get better. Like I just like did not want to admit it. Emotionally, I did not want to feel my feelings. I did not want to sit with all of that, because when I tell you how all consuming it was terrifying. It was terrifying to feel that kind of unraveling, to feel so out of control of your emotions, where you're just like, your sadness is like, it consumes you. It's just like this dark room that you live in. I didn't want to be there. I wanted to run away from that. And why that anecdote and that story ties into this idea that pain demands to be felt is that I started losing myself, and I started feeling very detached from myself. I started getting extremely forgetful. I remember I was in an airport and I like left my passport on like a table at one of the restaurants, and then I had a gift for my partner at the time and I forgot it in like two different stores, and the friend that was accompanying me on the trip looked at me and she was like, B, what is going on? You are never this kind of person. You don't forget anything. Like, you never lose anything. Like, where is your mind right now? Like, are you okay? And I remember in that moment being like, holy crap. Like, no, I'm not. I'm actually not okay. Like, my brain feels broken. Like, everything inside of me feels very numb and detached from this world. And that was pain trying to get out. That was my body telling me, you know, the reason why you are so exhausted right now, the reason why you feel sick constantly, the reason why you can't eat, the reason why you're so forgetful, the reason why all of these things are happening in your life is because you are not allowing yourself to work through and feel your deepest emotions. You know, I threw them all in a room and I locked the door and I didn't want to look in there. But as I said before, if you don't acknowledge the pain, and if you don't acknowledge the wound, it's just going to keep bleeding. It's just going to get worse to the point where it can actually kill you, to the point where it actually becomes more destructive than if you were to learn how to put a Band-Aid on it or sew it up and stitch it up. And so when we acknowledge the pain and when we acknowledge the feelings and when we acknowledge the sadness and we allow ourselves to just sit in it, we actually give ourselves the opportunity to not let it consume us. We give ourselves the opportunity to let it flow through us in whatever moment we are in, and those moments will happen consistently while you're grieving. It's not just a one and done kind of situation. You will feel them every single day, many times a day, and you will have to pause and breathe and really honor the way that you're feeling and release them. Because if you continue to repress the emotions, if you continue to convince yourself that what you're dealing with and what you're going through, that this loss is not real, it is only going to compound. Pain is exponential. It builds on top of itself until you can't breathe, until it's all consuming. And I think one of the biggest lessons I learned when I was grieving the loss of my mom, or when I was watching her go through all of this, is that it really does demand to be felt. There's a famous book called The Body Keeps the Score. It's all about how we hold trauma within ourselves and how we have to really learn how to like break everything up inside of ourselves and like dig into the dirt of it all and all of like the gritty and haunted and dark stuff. And we have to like break it up and give it room to be released. We have to really give ourselves the opportunity to like unhinge our ribcage and like peer into our heart and all of those rooms that we've locked the pain inside. And we have to like look the beast in the face. We have to acknowledge the wound. We have to give it a name. We have to assess the situation. We have to really set ourselves up to understand that it is a real thing that we are going through, because the minute you acknowledge it, and the minute you look at the pain and it's baring its teeth and you're staring it in its face and you're terrified of it and it's scary, but you're still sitting with it, that is when it becomes less all-consuming. That is when it becomes something very real and very tangible, something that you can see, something that you can feel, and something that you can move forward and kind of heal slowly. All right, with that being said, I want to go into a second point. Something that was very helpful for me, or that felt very comforting when I was dealing with losing my mom, and more so after she had passed away and we had said goodbye, I continued to remind myself that energy cannot be created or destroyed. It can only be transformed. As someone who grew up studying science, as someone who is very, very inspired by fact and empirical data and evidence and everything like that, as a means of affirming how beautiful it is to actually be alive, just how lucky we are and how rare life is. As someone who has always kind of used those facts as a means of like pushing myself forward and seeing like the beauty in our existence, I was very, very acutely aware of this law of thermodynamics, and I would tell it to myself every single day. So I'll repeat it. The law is that energy cannot be created or destroyed. It can only be transformed. Everything on this planet is considered to be made up of energy, atoms and cells and everything along those lines. On the most primitive level, you have like an energy source. And that is just fact. That is science. That is reality. Every single thing that you can feel, that you touch, every single person you come into contact with, that is just a form of energy that is being perceived and that is on this planet right now as themselves or as itself. And when that breaks down or when we pass away, that energy isn't destroyed. It isn't actually lost. It is just transformed. And while that's very cool to think about the fact that, you know, the same atoms and the same carbon that is part of like mountains and the ocean and nature around us is found within ourselves and is found within the people that we love. It's all cycled back to us. Well, it's really cool to think about it in that sense. It's also very helpful to think about it when dealing with grief and when dealing with loss, because it reframes the loss. And so every day I would remind myself, energy cannot be created or destroyed. It can only be transformed. My mom, her love, her heart, the way she cared, her laughter, the laugh that would literally like fill a room and make everyone smile, her energy, her hope, her dreams, her vision, the way that she believed in me, because that's what you miss. You miss the intricacies of a human being. You miss their joy. You miss their belief, you miss their laughter, you miss all of the small things that made you love them so much. Those losses are so measurable. in your life. Life suddenly gets very quiet and very distilled, and you are very, very aware that they are not there. And that is so difficult, but whenever you're feeling this way, or whenever I was feeling this way, something that helped me so much was reminding myself that I didn't actually lose this person. I didn't actually lose my mom. I lost her physically. She was no longer with me. I could no longer call her on the telephone. I could no longer dream my dreams with her or talk to her about my goals or, you know, have her by my side on a hard day, physically holding my hand. But at the end of the day, she was with me. I just had to pay attention to the different ways in which she was trying to reach me. Energy cannot be created or destroyed. It can only be transformed. And so now whenever I see like the most beautiful sunset, I'll smile and I'll say, hi, mom. Or if I just like am walking and I have like this sense of beauty wash over me, I don't know if any of you have felt that before, but you just have like this surge of hope or happiness or some sort of like positive, beautiful moment where it kind of takes your breath away. I'll always say that that's my mom, like washing over me like rain, like her love and her heart and her joy. It is there, it is tangible, it is real, it is still in this world waiting to be felt. And if I constantly am just upset and thinking that she's not here physically, and I'm rooting her memory so deeply to that like physical manifestation of her, I'm going to miss out on all of the ways she herself is trying to reach me, all of the ways her energy was recycled back to me in this world, in nature and in music and in art and in every single beautiful thing. I feel love and hope and joy and peace and calm. It's all her. It's all around me at all times. And so if you're feeling overwhelmed, if you feel like you just wish that they were beside you, I want you to remember that they are. It's scientifically proven. It's a fact. They never left. You just have to pay attention to the ways they've been reimagined in this world. And you'll know when you feel them. You will. You just have to open yourself up to that idea, and you have to open yourself up to that understanding, and you have to really deeply pay attention to it, because they are all around you. They never left you, and they will always be with you. Their love is in this world, and it is constantly, constantly finding its way back to you. A third lesson that I learned when I was dealing with grief and loss was that life is meant to be lived. And what I mean by that is I saw very honestly and in a very, very sad way, but in a very real way, the fact that our time here is not promised to us. And I know we live our lives like that. I live my life like that. The amount of plans I have made for my future, the amount of things I have not done because I haven't felt ready, and I feel like if I just take more time, that I will be ready one day to eventually leap, to eventually love a certain way, to eventually like grow and stretch and transform into that person I'm always like kind of hoping to reach one day. I have so many plans like that. I know all of us do. We feel so entitled to our futures, and we feel so entitled to our tomorrows, and in a very, very difficult way, that entitlement was almost like smacked out of my life. Like it was just like the rug was pulled from underneath me, and I was reminded very, very deeply that we all have the capacity to not wake up tomorrow. My mom had so many plans, so many trips we were gonna do. She wanted to start a business. She told herself, I'm gonna, you know, put in my work. I'm going to do all of these things. I'm gonna be a good wife. I'm gonna be a good daughter. I'm gonna worry about everyone around me, and then it's going to be my time. And then it was not her time, and her time never came because she wasn't entitled to that time. And I remember at first she felt very angry when she was diagnosed. She said, I've lived my life so much for other people, and I never really gave myself the ability to live it for myself. Because I thought I had time to do so. And then slowly, as she moved through that anger, I can only imagine how angry a person would be, you know, how that emotion would manifest into anger when you find out that you might not be here tomorrow. It's terrifying. I don't vilify her for being frustrated and angry with the world, for feeling resentful that she wasn't able to move through all of the visions and the potential that she knew she had within her. That is so frustrating. It is so discouraging and disheartening, and it's just a reality that we never really connect with until we very deeply have to connect with it. My mom was at first very angry, and then she became very calm. And I would remember like waking up beside her, and this is when this point really hit home for me. I would wake up beside her, I'd be holding her hand in the hospital, and I'd like feel her stir, and she'd open her eyes, and it would just, like, I can't really express it, but you just knew that she opened her eyes and she was like, oh my God, another day. I got to wake up today. It was like a childlike kind of joy and gratitude that I think it is so easy to lose as we grow up and as we start moving so quickly towards our futures and as we start trying to manifest all these different things in our lives without ever truly being present with ourselves. We forget to wake up and have gratitude for the fact that we were given another day. Time is a gift. And seeing that kind of wash over her, that I'm awake, like I have another day to like hold my husband's hand or to like hug my children, or to just like teach the world something, to like really make sure that I'm like leaving my heart and like putting everything I have into this space. Like I have another day to see that like joy and hope and like transparency just like wash over her like rain was one of the most beautiful things, as hard as it was to witness. It helped me so much because it really woke me up. Our time here is not promised to us. So how can we ensure that we wake up every day just in absolute freaking awe that we were given another moment? Life is meant to be lived, and there's no perfect time to start, and there's no perfect time to fall in love, and there's no perfect time to start working through your trauma or to start breaking up the healing that exists within you. Life will never be perfect. There will never be a perfect time. And you have to start now. You have to take advantage of every single day that you've been given here, because I have seen with my own two eyes the fact that that time can be taken away. And on that note, I saw how happiness changed for my mom. I was so preoccupied with my career and the way that I looked and the clothes that I was wearing and, you know, things that society tells you matter. You know, you want to be cool, you want to look a certain way, you want to have the job and have the success and everything along those lines. You want to have everything that the world tells you you want to have. It can become so easy to turn your perspective towards that and to think that success looks a certain way and that happiness looks a certain way. If I reach this, I'll get there. If I get this, I'll be happy. If I'll do this, I'll be happy. And that's not the case, because happiness is very, very small. I promise you, I would give up a lot to hold my mom again and to just call her on a really bad day. I would do anything. I would give you all the money in my bank account. I would give you the clothes off my back. I would quit my job if that was necessary. I would literally sell my soul just to be able to hold her again, to hug her. to listen to her stories, to hear her laugh. Oh my God. Ah, I would literally do anything to hear her joke and laugh, to watch her walk into a room and see how she just like changed people with her light. Nothing else matters other than your connections and the love that you have in this world. I promise you that. And if you're grieving, you know that. You know what that sacrifice looks like. But if you're listening to this and you haven't gone through loss and you haven't seen that firsthand, I promise you happiness is very, very small. It is love, it is depth, it is connection, it is the beauty you feel when you're surrounded and present with people who love you and see you and who encourage you and support you. I promise it doesn't matter what you look like, it doesn't matter how many followers you have, it doesn't matter what clothes you buy, it doesn't matter. And if you waste your life trying so hard to attain and attain and attain, you're going to lose sight of what you actually already own and what you actually already have. And so that is like one of the most positive lessons that I learned from one of the most negatively draining, exhausting, heart-wrenchingly broken seasons of my life. I started finding gratitude in literally every small detail of my life. Like the fact that I'm able to like walk out the door and go sit by the water. I remember when my mom stopped losing her ability to walk and she would say, I miss outside. I just like miss being outside. What? Like, we don't think like that. We don't think that these things could leave one day. And so I started finding so much gratitude in just a good conversation, or the way someone's hand felt within mine. Or you know those moments when you're sitting across from someone and you just like feel it in your stomach? You're just like, oh my God, I love you. Like, you make me so happy. Like, you bring me so much peace. I started really being present with stuff like that, stuff that money can't buy, which sounds so freaking cliche, but it's the truth. Start paying attention to those things and start being so present with those things, because I promise those things are what matters. That's all that matters in this life. And love and happiness is all around you. Please, I beg of you, don't get distracted. Don't get distracted on other things, or don't let your mind or your heart get away from you. Don't let the world make you cold. Like, make sure that you are open and receptive to all of the beauty that life has to offer you, and understand that it might look a lot different than what you perceive it as right now. And I learned that the hard way, but I hope that in saying that, maybe you'll go out tomorrow and you'll notice like the flowers on your walk to work, or you'll really feel gratitude when you open your eyes in the morning and really connect with the fact that you were given another day here to just put your heart into the world. Another thing that I really, really learned from losing my mom is something that I learned when I saw the way my father took care of her. This gets me emotional. I spent a lot of my life, I've talked about it before, with a very anxious attachment style, where I've always felt like I had to give and give and give, and sometimes haven't always felt worthy of the right kind of love or the goodness that has found me. And I've worked through that and I've gotten a lot better at it, and it's why I can show up like this for all of you. But I wasted a lot of time, and I realized this in that season of my life when I was grieving and when I was seeing my mom, you know, go through loss. I wasted so much time reaching for people who were no longer reaching for me. I put so much of my heart and my love into people who were not seeing the value in it. And that is something that became so clear to me when I saw the way my father loved my mother through her sickness. My mom wanted for nothing. My dad would literally carry her down the stairs when she could no longer walk. He would get her whatever she was craving. He was broken, is still broken, is devastated, over having lost the love of his life, his soulmate, the person who brought him so much happiness and peace in this world. And it really made me connect with the fact that we can't continue to love people who are loving us with one foot out the door. Like, the most beautiful, pragmatic, like, stunning and real kind of love, like, exists here. And why would you waste any moment, any second of this time, of this precious time here, on someone who is not seeing the value in what you're giving them? I saw so clearly with my own two eyes this, like, pragmatic love. Love that wanted to nurture and nourish. Love that wanted to love when it couldn't receive anything in return. It was so deeply beautiful. I was in awe of it. I couldn't believe that that existed between two people. It was awe-inspiring. It made me believe in my own heart and the way that I wanted to love someone. And it made me understand that I could be loved that way, and that I shouldn't waste one more second on someone who isn't showing up to love me that way. And so that was another lesson. So, like, we waste so much time on things that just don't matter. And we waste so much of our energy and our thoughts and our heart and our love on people who are not showing up for us. And how sad is that? How sad is that, that we squander, like, all of the potential that we have to be loved in a good and pointed way, that we waste our time here chasing things that are not chasing us? It became so clear to me, and now I look at love so differently, and I will not settle for anything that is less than something that makes me feel deeply protected and safe and at peace with myself. And I want you to do the same for yourself. I want you to understand that every single moment or every day that you pull yourself away from living because you're sad over someone who was not kind to you, or who could not be compassionate with you, or who could not value what you had to offer, every single day you waste lamenting that or not living because of that is another day lost, is another day where you are pulling yourself out of a potential scenario or situation that could bring you connection and beauty and peace, that would make you realize that that kind of tenderness and that kind of softness and love actually does exist in this world. I've seen it with my own two eyes. I saw it in my mother, and I saw it in my father, and I saw it in a connection that stood the test of time and sickness. Their love is everlasting. He will never love someone like he loved my mom. And it's very beautiful to see just how much love he still has pouring out for her. And it makes me really believe in the fact that that is out there for all of us, and that we need to keep ourselves open and receptive to it, and not closed off and ruminating over people who are actually genuinely never going to love us that way. And last but not least, you are allowed to mourn the person you are missing right now. Grief is very real and very hard, and there are going to be days where you want to close yourself off and hide from the world, and honestly, that's okay. You need to process in a way that feels peaceful to you. But I promise, and this helped me a lot, try to remind yourself that you keep them alive by putting your heart and your love into this world. And I'll leave it at that, but I just want you to know that you can honor them every single day that you are here, and in that way, you keep them close. All of the love that they gave you, you put back into this world. All of the hope that they gave you, you can put back into this world. The way that they believed in you, you can go out into this world and you can make them proud. And you can show up the way that they knew you were going to show up here, the way that they were in awe of. So whatever you do, feel what you are feeling, but go make them proud, because they're watching and they're with you and they are proud of you. And I hope you never forget that. Okay. That was very emotional. I hope that it helped. I hope that if anything, it made you feel seen and heard in what you're dealing with. Grief is very difficult and it is going to be a part of your life. I have been healing for 2 years and there are still nights where I cry because I just want my mom. And that's okay. You have to let those feelings wash over you. And I hope that this podcast episode helped you to see that it is okay to be sad. But I hope it also helped you to understand that life is very precious and that you can put your heart into this world as a means of honoring the person that you've lost. And in that way, you keep them alive. I hope that my lessons and the things that I went through resonate with you, and I hope that they just make you feel a little safer in what you're going through right now. It's going to be okay. You can do hard things. You can live without them. I just want you to remember that they're always with you and that they're always trying to reach you. So until next time, thank you for listening. Thank you for being here. I hope you know that you are so loved, and I hope you have a beautiful day.